And so I'm in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 2. And I wasn't quite sure what the meeting was, but as we open up the Word of God, it'll be fine. And I will give you the opportunity to ask and answer questions as we are here in a small group. And it's in Isaiah chapter 2. I want to start at verse number 12. And we'll work down to at least verse number 19. And we may go as far as verse number 21. But he says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts, it shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low." So the first thing that I want to say here is that there is a great humbling to enter into the kingdom of God. And as you're ministering unto these young people, there's a humility that must be placed into our souls by Almighty God. It's the humbling is to lift up the downcast. It's to break the bonds of the sinner. It's to set the captive free by humbling us and making us to know our sin. I'm either going to be humbled at the day of judgment in great shock and awe, or I'm going to be humbled now by the gospel to come unto our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is no strength in man. There is no ability in man. There is no goodness in man. There is no righteousness in man at all. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand. There is none that seeks after God. And so as we try to bring the gospel unto these people, unto these youth, is we cannot sugarcoat a gospel. All men are sinners, and they have no help at all in themselves. It all comes from God. Salvation is by His grace unto the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He finished the work upon the cross. It was all by Himself. It was a work that God did without the help of man. Even the free will of man is corrupted. That's why the Bible says that none seeks after God. None understands. None does anything good. No, not one. They have all gone out of the way. They're all turned aside. Each one of them, each one of us is actually utterly guilty in the sight of God. And I'll read in the book of Romans in chapter 3, verse number 10 through 20, it says, as it is, I'll start at verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? We're not better than anybody. Not at all, for we previously charged both the Jews and Greeks that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. They are useless. They are good for nothing.
There is none who does good, no, not one. There's not a speck of goodness in any one of us, anybody by nature. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. They're liars. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Even in our feeble heart, there is hatred against God. The small child is totally depraved. As cute as she is, she is in outright rebellion against God until she's born again. That's why the new birth is necessary. And these youth that you're going to be dealing with are sinners just as much as Adolf Hitler, just as much as if they were in a prison for child molestation. It may look like they're nice kids, but in the sight of God, they'd all be going to hell under the curse if they died right now without Christ Jesus. And we have to look very, very honestly at the sickness if we're going to give a remedy. His brother Matthew was sick with malaria, and he had to get a shot. And he reacted wrongly. It's an allergy, so he had to get another shot. But if all we said was, it's okay, Matthew, you'll be fine. It's all okay. He wouldn't have been humbled enough to take his medication. And the situation, it would have gotten worse. And if me and you are not humbled in the sight of God, and to know that he saves the sinner by the truth, he never withholds truth. Everybody is going to be humbled at the day of judgment or now by the gospel. And the gospel comes to save sinners. Nobody else. But the none that is righteous have entrance into the kingdom by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need a Savior. We're sinners. Verse 15, her feet, yours and mine by nature, are swift to shed blood, all of us. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And you say, but I was a nice person. No, 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 you were not in the sight of God. And the way of peace, the blessed gospel, and how to love each other, that they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And you will see this in these children if you haven't already. I'm sure you have if your eyes are open. Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says unto those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. This is a humiliation. It's a humbling. It's a being brought down. And all the world may become guilty before God. It's either now or never with salvation. Either I repent now, I receive Christ now on his terms, or I'll never enter into the kingdom of God. And he'll meet me at the day of judgment and prove every word in that Bible was true. And I'll be utterly convicted of the foolishness of having rejected this message of the gospel. Christ Jesus saves sinners. Real, true blue sinners. And here is the problem. Men think that they are little sinners. And they think that they are sinners on God's terms plus their own terms. As if it's a negotiation. As to you say part, it's a give and take there. But there is no give and take with the judge. He renders a verdict, and he's already rendered the verdict. All of us are guilty sinners. that every mouth may be stopped in all the world, everybody in the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law, our standard of obedience, how good we are in comparison unto God's law, is the knowledge of sin. So we compare ourselves unto other, if you may, a counselor. We compare ourselves unto God when I say, not the sin. And the cry from heaven is that God will be merciful unto the sinner. And so as we turn back here into the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, it shall be brought low. It's either at the day of judgment or it's now. Every mouth will be stopped. Everybody will be convicted of sin. Are you convicted of your sin? Are you convicted and convinced that by nature you're totally lost? You could not save yourself, would not save yourself, you could not save yourself. You could not do anything. You were utterly helpless. I was reading a sermon this morning on man's free will, this particular portion. But the sermon was on all faith is a gift of God. All faith is a gift of God. This man says that after we fell, our will became corrupted, our faculties, our mind, our ability to come unto God, our ability to reason with God, our ability to escape the bondage of our sin, it was broken, and I was chained and I was slaved. Like when Samson's eyes have been gouged out and he's in the prison house grinding, that's the soul of man. Under the power of the Philistines, we are in bondage. And men want to escape that fact and say, well, I have some free will. I can do it. But God says that's going to be brought down. It's going to be crushed. It's going to be humbled. It's going to be broken. Man's going to be saved as a sinner. Then verse number 13. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon, all the strong men that are high and lifted up, all of human ability, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, it doesn't matter how strong I think I am. If I played sports and I got a strong willpower and I can stop eating this and I can go train all day and I can stop this sin and I can stop that sin, you may be able to stop the sin of drunkenness and fornication and pornography, but I cannot purify my own heart in the sight of God. That's a gift of the Almighty God's grace. And we need to get these sinners in the church house to look outside of themselves unto Jesus Christ. Because that's really what's happening, sir. Men are looking at themselves as sufficient. I did enough. I prayed. I came forward. I tithe. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I got my head covered. It should be covered. It's in the north. It's cultural. It's not scriptural, it's cultural. But as we're looking at these things that we have done and can do as our acceptance with God, but it's higher than that. It's higher than what Cain brought unto God, which was his best. And so he was all heartbroken after God said, I reject it. And that's what's in the heart of man. I've done the best I can, but that's not, if the best that we could do was good enough, he would never send his own son to die on the cross. Our best is not good enough. I need a new heart. That baby needs a new heart. If I was a parent, I feel this incessant burden to plead with God. Don't assume he'll have mercy on your child. Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael.
And even Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And look at the children of David. Most of his children went to hell. If I'm a parent, please would come yourself. Please, mercy comes to me that you do or she do herself. She's lost. And you have our take more soul. Rely on God. So, if we're going to be humbled, and these parents, you have to communicate unto them that their children's born God. It must be a miracle from heaven itself. Rare privilege to enter into the kingdom of God. If it passed through blood, Christianity would have already conquered the world. It doesn't pass through the will of man. It's of God. So it doesn't matter how strong you think you are as a parent, or how strong you think you are as a teacher of gospel. All that's going to be broken, and confidence is going to be put in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be seen. All of that was nothing. Verse number 14, upon all the high mountains, all the pride of man, his ingenious thoughts, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, he's going to bring down the man. Upon every high mountain, upon every fortified wall. It doesn't matter how stream or wall. It doesn't matter how privileged we think that me and you are. How strong, how mighty, how able, how capable, how solid, how strong in ourselves. No, this is your thought. This is salvation that's of the Lord. Salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. From start to finish. He's the only reason that me and you have power over sin. It's not even the fact that I know doctrine. That's not power over sin. It's faith in Jesus Christ, which is the gift of God. It's relying upon his strength, his righteousness. It's the Christian has no righteousness of his own in the sight of God ever. I could preach for 10,000 years. I would not be one drop more righteous than that little child if she trusted Christ right now. I don't have any righteousness. And I don't have any strength unto serve God. That's what makes us to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And so as God brings us down, it's really as to how he lifts us up. And that's what it means to have faith, is to rely on someone outside of yourself. Jesus Christ. He's the righteous. And so here's my question. Can you do good works like preach unto these children, you house 100, you feed them, you talk to them about Christ, you make sacrifices, and you put the pain on me, and you're doing this, and you're back and serve. Can you do all this and not trust it at all? As to when you go to pray, as to when you stand before God in judgment. That's my question. Can you do that, sir? Can you do that? Can you work and slave for Jesus Christ and not trust in any of it at all? That's what it takes. That's walking by faith. And can you do it in somebody else's strength, in a spiritual fashion, instead of the striving of the flesh? That is the gift of God. And what I found, and as to what you'll find in his word, is the humble are exalted, and the mighty are brought low. If you look at Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you look at Hannah. It's the one who could not have a child. But verse 1 says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart, it rejoices in the Lord. It isn't in myself. And my horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. It's all because of you. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock that is like our God. He's the strong refuge. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and he tries our heart. By him, actions are weighed. If I'm really trusting Christ or in my own strength. And look what she says. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled, who admitted I'm a failure, are girded with strength. It's the sinner is strengthened with knowledge of the gospel and of salvation. And the weak and the helpless in the kingdom are made mighty. That's the kingdom of God. Verse 5, those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has been set. It's empty. That is God's way. It's my broken. They stumble and weak. Bless the Lord's prayer. And to really leave that place of internal poverty and relying upon his grace. And she who has many children has become feeble. You see how everything is upside down? And so even Paul said that when I'm weak, I'm strong. The power now, it actually rests upon me, and I have a whole nother power that's not myself. As the Lord kills and makes alive, he brings down to the grave and brings up. As the Lord makes poor and makes rich, he makes the rich and poor. And he's rich in the power of God. He brings low, lift up. He raised the poor from dust and lift back from the ash heap to set on princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Back to Isaiah chapter 2. And so is everyone. Is your understanding me so far? Is this not exactly right? You understanding so far? Is there an error? Are you seeing this? Do you understand this? Do you understand that your child is the hand of God? The children are in the hand of God. They're not owed any salvation. That they must be humbled even as me and you must be humbled and brought utterly low, and so we don't trust ourselves at all. And we tell them the true gospel and hope that God saves. That's what we're doing. We're actually blessing our Lord by the preaching of the truth. And hoping for him to work, expecting him to work in the power of his Holy Spirit, because it's all up to God. And so back into Isaiah chapter 2. Verse number 16 says, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, these strong, mighty ships, these excellent sailors, that was their gift, was to sail. And upon all the beautiful sloops, verse 17, the pride, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. Pride is one of the most, it is one of the most foolish things for a man to have, and it's something that is hard to get rid of. It is a flower that actually grows in the strange garden of a human heart. That I would be proud, you would be proud, if we would trust ourselves when we've done nothing. I didn't choose myself. I didn't call myself. I didn't give myself faith. I did not I did not give myself a brand new heart. I'm unable to keep myself from falling. I don't keep myself. It's the God who keeps me in you. He shall never slumber. He's able to keep us and to present us faultless. I'm not a Christian. I'm not in ministry because of myself. I didn't open my eyes. If I can see today, it's because of God. If I'm not chastened over sin, it's because of God. He can chasten me at any time. It was enough pride in Job for him to be humble. And he's the best man on earth. But you see all the pride in his being great. He was, all the while that he was the best man on earth, trusting in the fact that he was the best man on earth. And so God brought down, he went, hell, that's old. I have somebody I can speak it for me to take it in. I have injuries, I can break my back, I could be in the sick bed. I could just be left unto temptation for my own good and be assaulted by the devil. Who am I? What can I do against God? And if we understand this, my brothers and sisters, and we walk with more humility, is we'll be more thankful, is we'll praise Him, is we'll trust Him, and we'll even do more exploits in the power of the Holy Ghost. Abe, it's a proud heart is a strange thing. It ought not to be in a human being, but it's the sin most likely that all of us will actually struggle with the most is our own pride. That's why God is really targeting this one sin and saying, I'm going to humble it. I'm going to crush it. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord that He may lift you up. And so when you fall into sin, what do you do? And I'm asking questions. What do you do when you fall into sin? Go to God. And confess and trust in the blood of Christ. And the power over sin. If you fall into temptation, if you be tempted, is you go back unto God. I can't handle this, but I know that you can. If you're in your sick bed, you trust Christ. It's not time to quit. It's time to take it unto a brand new level of faith. Is your faith is tested on that sick bed. But Christ, He died on that cross under the agony of the wrath of God without any confidence in Himself and without any comfort from God's presence. But He trusted in His Word and He delivered. That's our life. And if we do that as we preach the gospel unto these children, trust in the Word of God. Put your confidence in what the Scripture says. And tell it unto the people in the power of the Holy Ghost. Not in the strength of self. Hide nothing of the truth. It may offend people, but it will save the elect. And the sheep will hear His voice. And that's all we can do. That's the only people who are going to be touched by God. It's not up to man, but be faithful unto your God, and He'll work through you. That's what He says. Let's trust His Word. So are we humble or are we proud? Every man must answer the question himself. Me personally, this was my prayer this morning. Even before I was in the text, this is more and more my constant prayer. I think that this is the number one thing I do personally that is offensive unto God. Even if I'm preaching. Even if I'm studying. Even if I'm helping a person. The pride of man is still there. It's a vagabond. It's a strange sin, but it is in our members. As the children of the devil by nature. And it's his folly. And it's the nature of this sin-cursed flesh. And in that level, I can't escape it. It is inside of me. It's everywhere. It actually stains everything that me and you do. It's stained with pride. And so we got to be humbled and brought back to faith in Christ constantly. It's the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. He does all of the saving. It's all the gift of God, all his strength, all his righteousness, all his blood, all his promises, all his faithfulness. It's all of God from start to finish. And I've been there with the truth in my head, but not in the power of the Spirit. You can't stand. It takes God. But the idols he shall utterly abolish. And this word idol means good for nothing. That's what self-trust is. Verse 19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. This is people trying to hide from God, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. And I'm winding up here, but there's no hiding place from God except in the Holy Spirit and by faith in Christ Jesus. I can run from them, I can away from them, I can mountains from them, I'll resurrect them in the judgment. You hide from God in Jesus Christ. That's where there's peace. That's the eye of the soul. That's where sin is remitted. That's where our eyes really been taken at the cross. Put our eyes in the other death cross. And we punched it a plea, and he put it out of God's sight. And he's angry with us no more. That's in Christ Jesus. So, let me just read verse number 20. In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver, his idols gold, which he made each for himself to worship, to the most best, who go into the clefts of the rocks, into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In the day when Christ is exalted, all the idols are truly brought low. All the self-confidence and all of the vanity. So if you're trusting yourself, you're going to be humble. If you're trusting in Christ, you're going to be exalted. If you're already humble, if you're trusting in Christ, that's what it means to be humble. I'm not trusting in myself anymore. In my ability, in my righteousness, in my strength, in my willpower, in my intelligence, in my zeal, in my Bible study, in my self-control. That's when God will use us mightily. That's walking by faith. Are there any questions or things to be shared? And so let's pray. And if there's any questions afterwards, it's fine. Or any comments or statements. Our Father, you shall have the glory. You shall get glory in each person here. And we pray, Father, that it might be in your mercy. And that in your mercy that you reach out your hand unto these children. We pray for this small one here especially. Lord God, it's we don't owe a man our money. And we don't owe him our salvation. It's your gift unto us. It's your gift unto everybody else which you saved. And you have mercy on whom you will. So we don't owe men except to love each other, and you don't owe us anything except what you promised in your word to whoever believes. So give us faith, increasing faith in your word, and cause the haughtiness of man to be humble. And cause our own pride to be humble. And to be stained. And put our faith in Jesus Christ. That we can be more useful. That we can walk in peace. That we can be more loving. Help me and the people here learn how to preach and how to minister the gospel in the power of your Spirit that cannot be gainsaid or resisted in its unconquerable power. You have power to save the wicked. Let us have confidence and faith in you and work with us and through us by your word, according unto Christ Jesus. And may his name be glorified. We don't even know the extent of what he's done. But he's reconciled us back unto you. Back unto God. He did a great work, a mighty work. Let us trust it forever. Amen.